Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
So we should probably really dedicate this to
You want to dedicate this to Mary.
So give me what's his name?
Ricky Martin.
Ricky Dickey. That's what we call him at the office, isn't it? Ricky Dickey.
Go on, sing Ricky Martin song for Mary.
I don't know. Doing the Viva Loca.
Vida Loca.
I don't know. Is it Viva Loca?
Vida Loca.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
If Mary was here, she'd be really
mad. She would be devastated.
Why don't you know a Ricky Martin song?
You cannot do an Italian accent, dude. Don't even try.
Ricky. Okay, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk a little bit about, well, we've just come back from South America.
Well, I've just come back from South America.
No, well, I was in South America too.
For a day.
I wasn't. I was there for
2 days.
Oh, don't now.
3 days.
Don't now.
Okay. Are you going to cry?
No, I'm not, but I feel devastated that I couldn't stay the whole time. Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about South America.
It was so good.
It was.
It was
Well, I organised it, so I know how good it was going to be.
Yeah.
But for the part I was there for, it was amazing.
So what did you love about it?
Well, one of the things I always love about travelling away is getting to spend time with the people that we spend the time with. I think that's phenomenal. Doesn't matter where we go, to have such a group of people that we can share those experiences with just awesome. But then the experiences. So we went, we flew over the Nazca lines, and I was freaked out before we went. I was like, do I even want to do this?
Because those planes were awesome. They were good planes.
Yeah, I know, but they talk about those planes because many years ago they used to have problems flying over the Nazca
lines. Well, I think up until about 2013 they were dropping out of the sky all the time.
So the cameraman was just like making noises around.
Do you want a hammer?
Calm down.
Do you want a hammer, Nathan? Can somebody get Nathan a hammer so he can make some more noise in the background?
But the Nazca lines were awesome. Lola really wanted to go up there, but it wasn't a good move because she was going to get sick because they do this. But anyway, she came up as well and the kids came up and did that. Mm. And to see the Nazca lines was phenomenal.
I think that the cool thing was, like, some of the stats on it is that the energy inside the Nazca lines is 8,000 times the energy outside the Nazca lines. So when you're looking at them, one of the things you start to realize is that they're so big and so large, they literally look like circuitry. On top of that, so I was talking to Daniel, you know, what do you think this is? And the accuracy of them, because a lot of them are an astral projection, they're positioning of the stars and on the planet. And so when you look at the Nazca lines from the sky, you realize really the only way they could have done it. And they stretch, like you see these pictures, like you'll see a picture of a spider, you see a picture of a condor, you see a picture of a puma. An image of a puma made on the planet, but they are so large that the accuracy of them could only have been achieved by from space, from being in the air. They don't know how old they are, so they've no idea how old they are. And they stretch for, you know, all the public are taken to one section, but they're all over the place. They're right through that particular section of Peru.
That's phenomenal.
Which is just like, you're there and you're thinking.
And then you're looking at them and they're so precise. Like the spider, I think, is a good example of it because of how it just seems like perfectly precise. It's just...
Well, and then the other thing is that the only time you recognize that they're there and what they are is from the sky. Because when you're on the ground looking at them, they just look like piles of rock. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. You just looks like you. There's no way you would be able to figure out, oh, this is what it is. You know, this is a puma. This is a condor. You can't figure that out. So we were talking about, you know, well, Daniel, who was, you know, our Incan scholar. We were talking. I was talking to him about, well, what do you think it is? And you know, there's so many. The mind can head off in so many different places. And I think that's one of the most important things for me when I'm out there, is that you watch the clients start to think differently. You know, they start to realize what you've been told, you know, about history might actually be wrong, and you know, when they're out there and they're going, you know, what they're telling you. Oh my God, you know, the intelligence that it must have taken to actually do this, in not just Alaska and Nazca lines, but all the other places which we'll talk about in a minute. But the intelligence that it must have taken to do this, and why were they doing it? Were they trying to communicate? Because you can only
that's
see
the question,
it.
The why, right?
Why would they do this? And then, you know, where they're scattered within, you know, you know, thousands and thousands of square kilometers of these images, which is just phenomenal. You know, there is literally what looks like a spaceman, somebody with a helmet on, you know, in the side of a mountain. With, and you're like, how old is this? Why did they do it? Why is it there? Were they just bored? I mean, what are we going to do today? You know what I mean? I'm really bored. While we're waiting on those crops to grow, why don't we go and create some Nazca lines? I mean, it can't have been that. You know, it just can't have been that. And I just...
So it makes people think. And that's what really... that's what the whole trip is about anyway, or whenever we take people travelling, is that it really makes people think differently about, well, everything, about their lives on top of everything else. But also, you know, all these other people in these civilizations who had these visions and these missions and these, this different way of thinking, I suppose. You know?
The other thing is that, you know, there's so much assumption about what goes on, about what they are, where, how old they are, because carbon dating won't even allow them to measure how old they are. Carbon dating doesn't hold it within, it doesn't sit within the carbon dating period. And how carbon dating works is that over a very long time period, eventually carbon breaks down and they can't measure it anymore. So, but there comes a, you know, that's got a time period. But they're beyond carbon dating, you know. So intelligent life beyond carbon dating, you know, is, to get your head around that is incredible. That was building these structures. Why?
So what do you think is different this time that we were there as opposed to the times before? Well, I mean, I know that you were talking a little bit about how being, I mean, this is the third time in 10 years we've been in South America. The first time was when Andrew's pregnant with Lexi. She's about to turn nine. Third time in nine years, really, that we've been in South America. And I know that obviously over 9 years everybody grows, everybody evolves, you know, and was that was evident while we were there this time, right?
I think that, you know, we spoke about this with Daniel, you know, from the first time we met Daniel to the second time we met Daniel to the third time to now when we met Daniel, things had completely changed. And within the second and third time, I think Daniel had lost a child. And I think that that had made a huge difference in opening up Daniel, you know, and... You know, I think that, you know, my statement to Daniel was, don't hold back, Daniel. But, I realized that we have grown a lot since then, you know. Like, my areas of interest in terms of anthropology and, you know, the origins of life and why we're here over the past 2 years have increased. And, you know, Daniel has done a lot of ayahuasca ceremony. So he's literally 2 days ago,
this week.
He became a shaman.
Messenger of the Wind, he said.
Messenger of the Wind, which I love. And so over the past 2 years, I've, you know, a lot of that has come in to my sphere of influence. Lots of people are talking about, you know, I've been studying Graham Hancock, Joe Rogan. These are guys who
use...
It's
what people are talking about. Yeah. It's what we're reading about. Yeah. It's everywhere, right?
It's like it's in our space. Does that make sense? And these, you know, Joe Rogan has done a lot of hallucinogenic and had a lot of hallucinogenic experiences through mushrooms, through LSD, through marijuana, through and also ayahuasca and peyote and San Pedro and so on and so forth. And so that has come a lot into my personal sphere of influence. And I've kind of, because a lot of people around me were doing it and saying, Mitch, you need to go and have this experience. You know, this is a really, like, this is a very, very deep experience. And I think for me, I you know, in talking with Daniel, I've always veered away from it because I made a choice not to have that in my life a long time ago. And I think that the reason that was because I was equating doing this with a party drug. Does that make sense? And with, you know, I'm actually going against, you know, my body and my system and my mind, and I don't want to use that to, to be able to reach ecstasy or be able to reach a state of flow or be able to connect with people at a party. I don't want to have drugs anymore in my life, and I walked away from that a long time ago. I don't want to be able to have drugs in my life in order to be able to connect with someone at a party. So I think that this time, you know, we went and saw a shaman. And we spent some time with a shaman, and I had a really interesting experience with the shaman, which I spoke to you about. But she said to me at one point, you can feel the forest calling you. And she was absolutely bang on, because I went, that's why all of this stuff has come back into my life. You know, because she said, you have to listen. You can feel the forest calling you. It is calling you, and it is summoning you for a reason. And so, yeah, I think that being with Daniel, I can see now the effects that it's had on him as a human and his connection to, you know, his history. And it's allowed him to feel more secure in speaking with the clients. And then, you know, I'm very open about my views on how we got here, why we're here, you know, what life is actually all about. And I just felt that there was a great alignment between myself and Daniel, which the clients felt, which we were then, when we would go into sacred sites, we were able to talk about what we really thought had happened here and what was really going on, which was really quite magical. So it was a real evolution, because, you know, there's times when you're thinking, fuck, you don't really want to talk about that because people are going to think you're mad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because the average layperson can't comprehend what you're saying. You know, they can't comprehend that, the concept of panspermia, or how we actually got here, the severing of the second genome. You know, all of this sort of stuff is very hard for. But we are at a point now where we are able to talk about that stuff. You know, I mean, I'm talking about it with you.
I know.
And you missed all that.
No, I didn't.
Because where were you? You were in Las Vegas,
weren't you? No, I wasn't. I didn't miss it all. I've been there before, and I experienced a lot of that before.
I'm just teasing.
It was very difficult to leave.
No, it was very, 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 very difficult for you to leave.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. But, you know, that's how life goes sometimes, that you can't, you know, well, you're not meant to be like it. It just wasn't meant to be this time for me to stay the whole time.
But I think you'd said that Daniel had asked his shaman to get a message.
That's happening this week.
Actually. Oh, great. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Good. Yeah, nervous as well, but good. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So tell me what you think were the highlights. I mean, for the time period that you were with us, because you made it into, where did you make it?
I did the Nazca Lines, did a bit of lemur, and I did the jungle with you guys.
Did you like the jungle?
I did, and it was different this time, don't you think?
I think I do.
It was just different this time. Last time it was quite, I don't know, it was the last thing we did last time, and it was a bit, I don't know, this time was, I don't know, it felt more... It just felt right in a way. It just felt, I don't know, it was nice.
Do you feel like, you know, last time we were out there, like they were telling us, listen, there's a campsite about, you know, 20 minutes further up the river.
Yeah, there's the mosquitoes are like, you know, and this time I didn't feel like as nervous about
The mosquito that gives you a form of leprosy and a couple of the staff have it, and it's an incurable form of leprosy. Yeah.
Let's go there.
But did you have any sense of feeling to pull you any further into the jungle?
In what way?
Well, I just felt, for me, I actually want to go further up.
Oh, further in. Like
further in.
Yeah, because we weren't as far in this time, were we? Because the last time we...
Were we not?
I think no, we weren't.
Oh, were
no,
we weren't.
We were about another at least 30 to 45 minutes closer...
Yeah.
Than we were last time. So we went out an extra...
I mean, I saw some cool stuff there this time, though. Like, we saw vultures, caiman.
Yeah.
You know, we saw lots of different species of wildlife, monkeys, which was great. And then we'd seen that there had been some puma eating some caiman and all sorts of stuff, which is really cool. We didn't really see that in the other site.
Mm.
But I just felt I wanted to go up further, you know?
More, yeah. So what was your favourite thing about the whole thing? And why would you go back?
I plan to go back in April for a private ceremony that I want to go back and do that have a private ceremony and that's why I want to go back, because I want to, you know, I want to be able to connect deeper, I think, with myself. I want to understand myself more. And
do you think you feel like you want to do that because something's missing?
No, I think I want to do it. I don't mean missing as in absent. I feel like I'm missing something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I feel like I'm missing something.
The same thing?
No, Well, maybe, but I don't mean, I just, it's not like there's an absence. It's just, it's I feel like there's a clock ticking and I have to see something. Does that make sense? I have an appointment somewhere and I don't know, and I need to get there, but there's only a certain way to get there. Do you understand? I feel like, and when I get there, I have an appointement with myself.
I do understand that totally.
To understand me. At a deeper level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, they call it the ropes of the dead for a reason. Like, I was with Eduardo and he had an experience about 7 days. Sorry, that was 21 days before he met us.
No, it was less than that. Yeah, it was about 7 days.
And at one point, we're walking through one of the sacred sites. And we'd just come out of the navel of the planet at Cusco. And we were at this other sacred site. One of the only few sites that had not been destroyed by the Spanish. And we're walking around, and like Eduardo was extremely different.
Yes, he was.
He was extremely moved. My experience with Eduardo was always that he was very resistant, you know, and he'd had some stuff going on.
To anything like...
anything spiritual.
Anything deeply spiritual.
Yeah, and he wanted to own the history, but he didn't want to own the mysticism. Does that make sense? So... I think that I was walking through one of the sacred sites and he pulled me aside, and he'd had a couple of beers the night before, two nights earlier, and he pulled me aside, and Eduardo does not talk about this stuff.
He's not done it in the past.
And he said, because I didn't purge, he said, it stays in your system. And they reckon it stays in your system for 9 months. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. He said, I had this experience the other night. He said, I woke up in a sweat. And he said, I'd been dreaming. And he said, I'd been dreaming about my childhood. And he said, it's totally the ayahuasca. Mm. Totally the ayahuasca. I've been dreaming about my childhood. And I'm like, really? And he said to me, yeah. And he said to me, I had this memory of my aunt. And he said, I completely forgot about her. He said, I grew up feeling as if my father never had any time for me. And he said, I grew up feeling as if there was, you know, there was no real connection and emotion in my childhood. But he said, my auntie was the woman who loved me. And then, like, you could see he was just totally moved. He said... He said, it was the first time that I really realized how much a human being had actually loved me. And he just went very quiet. And like, you knew, he was talking about an equilibration, but not through the words, through what I was feeling from him. And that's when I was like, holy shit, you know, there's something here. There's something here. It was very cool.
I have lots of questions and thoughts about that, you know, because I feel like I have lots of questions and thoughts about that. I don't know if this is the time and the place.
I understand.
I don't know, I just feel like there's this sense of, you know, even when we work with people, right, you don't want to do an equilibration. You don't want people to do an equilibration to think that there's going to be an outcome outside of that. Do you know what I mean? That you don't want people to expect something. If I do this, then my life's going to change. My husband's going to change. You know, my reality's going to change. No, you do this because you're doing it.
Yeah, you do
if
this.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, it's like you meditate because you meditate.
Meditate, not so that you get to something. You meditate because you meditate. You equilibrate because you equilibrate. It's the same with this. I'm thinking, is there a pull that there's going to be something on the outside that's not already there?
For me, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's nothing to do with my outer world. It's absolutely nothing to do with my... I'm not doing it...
But not even in the outer world. I'm not questioning.
I think for me...
I want to understand a bit more.
It's very difficult for me to explain it, but I just feel like this humbling call, you know, like something is speaking to me that there's something I haven't seen that I have to see, that it's time. It's allowing me to see it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's been, there's a synchronistic series of events have been poking at me to come and see something. Yeah. You have something to see and you have to see it because you've something to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. And so for me, I have a very, very, very deep respect for it. Because I have a deep respect for me.
Mm.
This is not a party thing.
Yeah.
This is something that commands and demands respect. I mean,
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you watch the documentary, The Last Shaman on Netflix, the first 20 minutes in a ritual, one of the guys drops dead. The next scene is he's been put into a freezer in Peru. So you have to respect this experience. Mm. You have to be, like I was talking to again Daniel about it. He said, you can only do it when you're called. If you're not called, you can't do it.
Mm.
He said, and you shouldn't do it until you're called. And so I'm like, what do you mean called? And then it wasn't until I was with the chairman that I went, that's what you mean. Because there was all of these synchronistic series of events that were saying, buddy, there's something for you to see here.
Mm, cool.
Bananas.
What is this space?
Hey? Yeah.
So, South America.
Yeah, I loved it. We got some other cool stuff. Obviously, when we were away, we were thinking about where we're going to go to next.
Yeah, which is cool. Yeah.
Should we say that?
Well, the plan is that we've got a few things that we want to do. We want to go back to India again.
South India.
Yeah.
2020.
We want to go to the Northern Lights in Europe. We want to do Africa.
Yeah, so I want to go to the base in Africa and see the gorillas.
A few things we want to do.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
So, cool. See if we can make that all happen. Good job.
Go, buddy!
Cheers.